It looks to me like we got a bunch of musicians here, so it seems like we might want to talk about that a little bit. John Edward Ross has got his group Rasta, and I play with Free Radicals and Pretentious Percussion, and Persef plays with us as well as 80 other projects, and just showing up to open mics and so forth. We did one of those the other night. So I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about music. Maybe we could play Persef's tune. Can you play number 7, which is Fresh Air? Can check out a little bit of what Free Radicals is. That doesn't have any curse words in it, does it?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't curse that much.
This is from our latest CD, Aerial Bombardment. I was getting the project about done, and I was realizing, hey, we really need to get some vocalists in here, so I got a hold of Persef and a couple other poets to deal with balancing out all the instrumental stuff on here.
Take nothing to have a common option. Obstruct, transcribing, glowing, growing a coffin. I often throw black clouds of sonic clarity softens. Caught in harsh winds, marking moments, hoping it don't end up deconstructed decently. Cleanse pollution. There's Houston losing, livable to burn them. They burn them, then turn a solution. We waste, take it inside the source, store lords, and empty drawers, lorn lord, or the separation from ourselves. Appreciate to get more, don't forget to get yours. Went from life to dead boards, bled for internal instruments. Now I can see through you. For people who notice the voice getting thicker to exhale, do you? All cleansing the ditch, the disease is born in the air. 700-foot flyer might have sounded like heaven's bare essence, but leaving a trail of iridescent glare, a small change with a newly renamed fresh air. What is the price of your being? Being that these beings are cheapening. We're our own gleaming predators, pouring more nukes, leaving for your youth. Nearly tore cords, root breathing spores, lose use. Still need an unseen proof to settle yours. It's the tension, the vibration, the assimilation of words, the missiles, the energy, the diseases and germs. It's the planes, the ships, the penetrated shield. It's the way the demolition plateaus and fields. It's the way that we are and the reason we feel. Let's have some respect for ourselves, keep our zones sealed.
Saxophone by Pete on the Barry Sax and Tom on the organ, and I was playing some drums, and Persef here came in and wrote Fresh Air for that. I don't know, maybe you could just talk a little bit about it, Persef. Yeah. Like, what was it like for you to get involved in the project? Like, we had this kind of theme of the album about bombing and air, and what was it like to write on a theme?
Well, when you came to me, it, like, put a bunch of ideas in my head, like, what is all in the air around us? Like, so many frequencies and so many things in the air that could be discussed. And I took the angle of talking about the tension and the frequencies in the air and the pollution and things like that. I think it turned out to be something educational, at the same time therapeutic.
Something that we were just talking about while the song was playing is that, you know, for musicians, one of the main things that we can do to be doing something active, you know, rather than just like in between songs instructing the audience what to do or something, like which
can be a little pedantic.
Nobody really wants to get lectured. I mean, sometimes I'm just so angry that I'm just going to get on the mic and say something, like, not even necessarily political, but one time we were playing, it was like a singles thing. It was a Garden in the Heights, and everybody was just drinking and hanging out over, like, on the other side of the yard and flirting, and eventually I was just screaming at the audience. I was like,
were you single at the time?
I don't know. I you know, these people just look so normal. I was like, all right, are there any Satan worshippers here tonight? You
know, just had anything. Strained it up.
Are there any communists out here? Okay, which kind of communists? How many Trotskyites? Don't be embarrassed now. You know, that's not a real way to do much useful. But one of the main things that we do try to do is to play benefit shows, and people are always asking us to play benefit shows. Free Radicals plays sometimes a couple benefits in a week, and there are different kinds of benefits. There's a fundraiser for a cool organization, or there's a full-on charity thing, or there's just something where the band actually gets to keep the money, but it's just a promotional thing for some cause to get signatures.
We were talking about the fact that groups that play largely instrumental music, as the Free Radicals are doing these days, as my group, the Rasta Jazz Avengers, do. I mean, if you're not going to go for the in-between song banter or lecture, as it were, that's the avenue that you have to lend your music to the activist movement, is to play for groups that are actually doing something with their time. It's the thing that the Rasta Jazz of Interest tries to do, and I do by myself. We played in a fundraiser this past week for a film that's about voting in America, which was on Living Art last week.
That's John Edward Ross. And
thank you, Michael.
Yeah. You've played for several of these organizations.
Yeah, I've played for Voices Breaking Boundaries a number of times. I definitely don't do it as often as Nick. Nick is the king of playing for benefits, and I applaud him for that. It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, man, sometimes at the benefits, we end up making more money than our regular gigs, so it's not like a big sacrifice.
Comment about the lifestyle of being activist or radical or stepping out of the normal status quo.
I don't know if I can talk too much to that, but I can talk about what my life looks like with regard to being an artist and still an activist. I spend a good bit of time trying to stay educated about what it is that's going on, you know, reading newspapers from both sides of the political fence, listening to radio shows from both sides of the political fence. Like, I like to listen to KPFT, but I also make sure that I listen to Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and check those guys out, see what they're talking about, see what angles they're bringing at it, so you're educated about what your enemies, if that's what you want to call it, or what the political landscape is.
And it's scary. I mean, the situation right now is such that people would rather not think about dangerous situations that we're creating, which would be talked about on KPFT, and they might not want to listen to Rush Limbaugh just because it's just scary to hear the psychology of that type of thought, you know?
It really is scary. Yeah. I mean, I was listening the other day, I think, to Michael Hannity, and granted, he's not a legislator, but he's sitting there in this radio program, and his stump speech for that radio program was, "Let's carpet bomb the Sunni Triangle." And it's physically hard to listen to that. I mean,
we're not mainstream here? What? That sounds...
That's incredibly radical. I mean, he was serious. Like, give everybody 24 hours to get out, and then carpet bomb it.
24 hours.
Just living life, if you're an artist or not, you get faced with these issues, and I think one way to deal with it as an artist is to just put it into the art. It can be educational for some people, and I don't really talk about politics too much. I really try to stay away from it for some reason. It kind of scares me, you know, to know a lot of these things are going on. Even though I know it, I kind of always stayed away from that. But yeah,
I think it's the effectiveness of having people scared, keeping the protest numbers down, or keeping people from wanting to really get involved. I mean, there's a real legitimate concern that with all of our good work and all of our victories, let's not forget that some of these protests have been really successful. We never had any dream when we started protesting the Free Trade Area of the Americas at the WTO that the talks were going to fall apart.
Or that they'd have to have their meetings on an island off Georgia.
Well, that wasn't too hard to imagine. But the fact that they wouldn't get their thing signed, you know, that's pretty incredible. I remember when I was in Quebec, Hugo Chavez sounded like, well, you know, we're going to go along with it, and maybe if we don't like it later, we can get out of it. And I was like, this is the most radical there is, this guy who's just kind of, you know, going along with it. And now look at him. The support on the street has kind of radicalized some of these participants in these things. So that's really interesting.
I really do think that's true. And if you look at activism in the past, they've never had 50% plus one to get their job done. The civil rights movement, for example, never had the majority. You know, they did their job with, you know, 3-4% of the population backing them. But Persevon, back to what you were saying, what about the status quo? If you step out of the system?
And it's just being part of a hip-hop community or being part of a...
That's a movement, not necessarily for politics or anything, but...
Yeah, but you hear a lot of when people are freestyling.
Yeah, there is a lot of consciousness as far as, I mean, you hear things that you, I mean, the media is everywhere. You're going to hear things and talk about it.
I heard this guy at the open mic the other night, and he was saying blah, blah, blah about George Bush and something, something. And then he says, I'm not trying to be political, but I just,
but
you know.
You already are. Yeah. You know? Definitely, yeah, it's powerful to know that when people come together in numbers and to rise above something that they don't agree with, to change that, I definitely think that's a great thing.
It's one of the sort of more subtle powers of music, I think, is to help define a community, help create a community, as hip-hop does for the hip-hop community. And I can say, like, from my own experience, like, one of the big things I do with my music is I teach, and there's a community of students that I have, and it's fairly tight-knit. I mean, I have a really deep relationship with about 40 young people that I teach every week. And there's just no way for that relationship to not be political. It's sometimes, you know, high school students come in and there's a George Bush speech on the last night. And so, you know, it's not like I'm going to talk about it with every one of them. I'm not going to make a point to talk about it. I'm there to teach them music. But it's going to come up. I mean, yeah. when you're, that's the beautiful thing about music is that it has a way of relating in some way to almost every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. So I might be sitting there teaching this girl about an A minor chord and, you know, or teaching
a song. Can you play us an A minor chord just so we know what you're talking about?
I've never been taught that.
And, you know, I mean, maybe it brings up some sort of emotion. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just our conversation goes that way. And by the simple fact that we have a deep relationship from talking about music, we can talk about that. And so, you know, there's a chance for music to sort of create community that to lead to some sort of political discussion, which then can then be educational.
What about the form of what you're doing itself? The system that is created from your teaching is constructive, right?
I mean, absolutely, it's constructive.
And is that political? I guess.
In the sense that I was talking about, that it's not political in and of itself. Like, if you just, razored out the music from somebody's life, yeah, that's not necessarily political. I mean, if you're talking about instrumental music, I'm not talking about vocal music where the lyrics have their own meaning. But, I mean, you know, I mean, there's 12 notes, and, you know, there's the notes in between those notes, and there's, you know, a variety of rhythms. I mean, that's, in and of itself, that's what it is. It's not political. I mean, it's sort of beautifully apolitical. But because music is such a powerful tool, because it, I mean...
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's undeniable.
Listen to the radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's every big media corporation has co-opted music to sell their products. I mean, they're getting really good at it. I mean, they're using, fairly modern hip-hop to sell cars and clothes these days, you know?
Mm-hmm. And jewelry.
Absolutely. You know, so yeah, so it is, I mean, it has, by being apolitical and by being very powerful, it can help but create community, which is political.
Like, we did the Halliburton protest recently, and, you know, so we're marching, so we had to get instruments that are appropriate for marching, so we had drums and horns. It really changed the protest to have the music there. Everybody came up, and they're like, oh, it's so great to have the music going on, you know, really energized us and so forth. But all through life, there's music as a role, whether it's for eating or drinking or a funeral, there's a place for music. And
Well, take it from a person who studied language, literature, you know, music is much more powerful than poetry. It just has, you know, otherwise we'd be hearing poetry on the FM dial.
You're right. Absolutely, they'd be using it, you know.
One thing that's really interesting is there's a question sometimes, is free jazz related to real political freedom movements? Is it related to the concept of liberty? When we were getting interviewed for the Houston Press,
Harry Shepherd, the vibraphone player.
Harry Shepherd, the vibraphone player who plays on our... Actually, we...
Harry Shepherd.
Why don't we get
rid of
that tune? Number 9 is... Why don't we put that on deck? It's Harry Stops the War. If you could get number 9 ready to go in a second. But Harry was being interviewed for the Houston Press, and he was saying, I think it was Bill Miller, he was saying, this guy, he can play free, he can go anywhere, but we can barely even talk about politics, you know, because, and then, you know, you take a look at the jazzhouston.com website in the politics section, and it's like me and a couple other people kind of holding it down, and there's some real hardcore Republican right-wing people that are essentially willing to go to the bomb the Sunni triangle type of thinking.
Where, you know, where is this that you're talking about?
JazzHouston.com, which ultimately bomb the Sunni triangle is kind of the logical extension. I mean, in the same sense that Kurtz in Heart of Darkness kill them all, the logical extension of imperialism is there is no solution to this if we don't kill them all. And you hear that in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict too. You hear they want to kill us all, so the only solution is for us to kill them all. But a lot of people have a hard time going that far, but if you push them sometimes...
Well, you've been listening to 950 as well, I see. That's pretty much the narrative.
Yeah, it is.
No, not at all. I mean, I stay away from mainstream news, actually, and I have a very different approach than John. I don't feel like I need to listen to both sides of the spectrum. I mean, I get enough of that stuff. Some of the truths that I've found for myself are very simple. You don't need to hear every reactionary opinion to know that do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I got that stuff straight, but I am exposed to some of it. I mean, you can't avoid it. I was at a friend's house, and they turned on MSNBC, and I was watching it, and I was like, this is more abstract and ridiculous to me than The Daily Show, which is supposed to be a joke, I guess. But The Daily Show, I mean, they talk about real issues, and then they make a joke of it. And then on this thing, MSNBC, the top story tonight was that some intern's blog had said that she had had sex with a senator or something like that. That was the top story.
Those guys are clearly not getting enough.
Okay, Harry Stops the War. Number 9, you got it ready to roll there. This is Harry Shepherd and Free Radicals. This is kind of a quick one.
Get some more Free Radical there, and you can get Free Radical CD.
Freerads.com, FreeRads.com. It's also available, of course, at Cactus and Sound Exchange.
All right, and you can check out Nick Cooper's website for his plays and some articles he's written and stuff.
And, of course, you can always check out Houston.indymedia.org, which gives you the opportunity to put your music on the internet, and it doesn't cost anything, and I use it for that myself. And you can put your songs up there, even if they're songs about carpet bombing the Sunni Triangle.
I'm going to play a composition that the Rasta Jazz Vendors play in sort of full band format. I'm going to play it sort of solo guitar here. It's called Constellation. Thank you.
Ross, John Edward Ross, doing a little jazz on Living Art.
Then you arrange that like with the whole band, so.
Yeah, that's a song, like I composed that aspect of it that you just heard. And there's a lot of improvisation involved even within that bit of composition. There's a melody that I composed and some chord changes. And then I bring that to the group, and there's a drummer and an acoustic bass player and a saxophone player. And we find an arrangement of it, you know, a way for the drums to play, a way for the bass to play, a way for the saxophone to play. And then we use it as a sketch. And then we begin with that sketch, we improvise in some way that's related to that sketch, and we sort of come back to it.
Wow. I was, interesting. Dave Dove, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know Dave?
Yeah, he's improv. And I was talking to a guy with the Satin Hooks last weekend at the Indie Media Music fundraiser, and he was telling me about how his improv was Bacchanalian. So what does that mean? Types of improv.
Bacchanalian, that's a pretty literary way to describe improv. I mean, that's a very personal definition, so I wouldn't want to attempt to interpret that without him here.
I think he wanted to stand on top of his drums and play.
Well, I think that you have bands that there's one dude who writes everything, and then everybody else is supposed to figure out their own part around that. You have bands where one person writes everything for everybody. You have different ways of organizing things, and some of them are less hierarchical. There's a lot of different ways that stuff comes out. I was talking to my brother about this. My brother plays on a lot of great projects, and he's played with all kinds of great bands, and he's a composer. But for him, it's very often like somebody's kind of in charge. And I was just thinking about how different my own experience is, where it's not to say that people don't tell each other what to do sometimes. People could really have an idea, like, this is what I want to do, but the other person can argue back too, so it's like...
Yeah, there's a spectrum. There's stuff that's almost completely composed, like, say, what you might hear at the symphony. Where every note and every dynamic and every, you know, what every note plays and when is written out. And then there's somebody whose job it is to make that happen, the conductor. Then there's, like, say, like a classic rock tune with like a guitar solo in it, or like a mariachi tune with a trumpet solo. There's a large part of that is composed, and there's this one spot where somebody gets to sort of do their thing. But it's very much within the structure of that song. Then there's like the
and
furthest.
Like, how different do they do their solo every night?
That depends very much on the person, you know. I mean, somebody who's doing that for, say, Janet Jackson or something, they're going to do it the same way every night. Somebody who does that, like, you know, a band like Led Zeppelin or something, it's pretty different from night to night. Hmm. Then there's jazz, like sort of standard jazz, where you've got a simple melody and some chord changes and a tempo. And that's about it. You know, and everybody sort of goes from there. And then you've got the world of free jazz, where the structures are even more abstract. Like, we're going to do something that begins soft, gets loud, and then gets soft again. I mean, that's a very simplified version of it. But there's structures that are sort of that abstract.
Yeah, every once in a while we'll have a rehearsal where it's like we'll just go around the room and somebody gets to say what the thing that we're going to do is. And the only limitation, I suppose, is that if the thing is too complicated, then we're not really going to be able to do it. But, I mean, somebody's like, we're going to start in this key, or we're going to all play the same key, we're all going to play the same note in different rhythms, we're going to play the same rhythm in different notes, we're going to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anything you could come up with using any of the parameters that exist, whether it be tone, volume, key, you know, pitch, whatever. Right. Or we're going to play something where everyone's a little out of tune or whatever. You can mm-hmm. play around with those parameters.
And, right. And then with a group like mine, and I know with yours, there's times when you don't actually have a prefabricated structure, and you're just like, I trust you guys to play, I like how you're going to play, I mean, I trust that's going to happen, let's just go. And then we're going to create a structure, not from words, but from the sounds that we make, you know? And it can be a very abstract structure. It can be a very solid structure, actually.
Recently, we've been doing almost entirely improvisational stuff, but it would sound very differently from listening to Dave Dove or something, because although we are doing improv, we do certain rhythms, and when I go into a certain beat, people know, okay, Nick is doing a disco beat, and
right.
If I want to play something that sounds like disco, then I'm playing with him, and if I want to do something else that is totally different, then I might be creating some kind of, you know, more complex interplay there, but I know that he's doing a disco beat now. It's not just like, I don't know what he's going to do the next second.
Right.
Persev, are you being silent?
I got a question for Persev. I would like to
know. I don't really play any instruments.
But you've been in a band where you've had a real, like, here's mm-hmm. your time to rap, and then you have this many measures, and then you're done, and then you go to open mics, and then you also do stuff with us, just come up, and maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, what it's like to have more or less structure for you when you're performing.
Oh, it's different. Like, with playing with the Free Radicals, it's like you kind of know what to expect because you can kind of feel for it, you know, the direction that it's going. But sometimes it's like totally left field stuff, and you just have to like catch on. And
but it's never right field with us.
it's good as long as everyone isn't soloing, which tends to happen sometimes. Everyone kind of, as long as everyone's like working together, you know, and I don't have to shine the light.
We had this thing for a while that if somebody was playing too much, that Persef was going to shine a light in their face so that they would wake up.
Snap back into it.
Come out of their own universe.
But yeah, just totally like freestyling with that kind of thing. And then there's on the other side, like you guys are talking about the structurized aspect of it. Like a band I played in, Dubtex, that was totally structure practice. Mm-hmm. And like from beginning to end, you know, you have your part, you do it. Mm-hmm. Next, and it's totally different. And I think both of them are,
I love playing in both, you know, both environments.
Yeah,
there's different things, there's different sort of emotional places you can go that both environments lend themselves. Mm-hmm. To, and I really like it.
What kind of audience does improv jazz attract?
A lot of our shows are really different, you know, like last night we were playing up at Dean's and I was having a hard time gauging the audience. We had done a couple things, we had done like some freer stuff, some drum and bass, we did a waltz, and then I was like, let's just disco for a while and see if people get down, because sometimes if there's like a crowd that's like really not into really paying attention to what you're doing or whatever, they just want to hear like a beat. And we have a tune on the record which is All Alien, All Nude, All the Time, which is our disco medley, and it's trying to bring disco back from a scorned and mocked art form into a high art. Or sometimes we'll drive everybody out of the room playing some abstract free stuff or some stuff that's not in any key. If we want to bring them back, just go into the disco.
What is the tyranny of melody then? I mean, people, you as musicians, you have to play something catchy.
That can mean a lot of different things, and you nailed one of them, which is that there's a lot of times when you're playing music when what people want to hear is a tune that they recognize, and that what they mean by a tune they recognize is a melody that they recognize, and so there's this certain, that's usually what the tyranny of the melody refers to. And then in other times, it refers to this idea that music has to have a structure where there's a melody going on most of the time, and that's just blatantly not true. I mean, listen to music from Africa, where it's predominantly drum music. And you could argue in some very intellectual way that, yes, well, there's melodies because the drums have different pitches, but it's not melody in the sort of traditional sense. And that's, you know, pretty amazing music. It's pretty hard to argue with that. It's an old Western ideal that music always has to be melodically driven.
We got a rapper right here. Rappers take the place of a singer, and it's not necessarily
not a melodic form, no. Yeah. It's a rhythmic form.
More rhythmic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one? Ready to go?
She's always got one, man. She's got an on-off switch.
Yeah.
Turn it on, then.
All right. You want to do something real quick?
If you guys could stall for a minute, I'm going to go grab my bongos, and then we'll do that. So why don't you guys talk about something else?
Oh, I was going to say that you said you don't play an instrument. You're a vocalist. That's like one of the greatest instruments right there, you know,
that,
the human
that
voice.
An instrument. But, I mean, I don't play live. Like, I'm teaching myself how to play the keyboard, you know, mm-hmm. but I haven't played live out anywhere. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of different being
yeah.
a vocalist, and I know it's the same in a lot of ways, though. If you really think about it, like you are playing an instrument mm-hmm. with your voice and words,
yeah,
with the rhythms and mm-hmm. times,
yeah. It has a pitch element. Even if you're not singing a melody, there's a pitch element to it. You know, I mean, how low your voice goes, how high it goes. I mean, do you ever listen to Capleton?
Capleton?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of the dance hall artists from Jamaica, and he raps way more often than he sings, but man, there's a huge pitch element to how he raps. Like sometimes he raps things that are real guttural, real low in his voice. Sometimes he uses like all the stuff up in his nose and is real nasally. And so yeah, I mean, he's using his voice in a non-melodic way, but it's still very pitch oriented.
Little creatures catapulting underneath car to car. They can reach up and pull the door handle ajar. You fly in a split second, don't feel threatened. It can happen to any peasant that drives. Change bodies like transporters with everything it carries inside. Scripture split to its simplest rebuttal. Infested like chicks with syphilis that live to cuddle. Come comfort bun, wanna cut and run. Slug a vessel tracking device system. Keep hoping that zigzag and rapper that burn slow. So I can continue to break down this sick stem. Only healing heals to click them. Faithful and discreet slave. Pull the plug and chain. Mind boggle, brain bottle. Inside out like a popple model. Spin plot or props to topple. I drop the throttle to the floor. This is the fort to device, subliminal telekinesis. We got one hell of a war. Stuck in high frequency, hurtling waves, reckoning pages torn. Consider yourself warned. Got a shotgun, duct tape to the dashboard. So it doesn't wobble when I reach past the steering column and grasp for. Squeezing the thread out of the latch. At that exact act of tweet.
squeezing another batch being born. The formal never ends, but I plan to spread her thin. Come here and let me see you swallow the rest of your medicine. Swarm like corner horse, line hollow, less of estrogen. Dressing like Boy George, wrestling at best pest control. The rest can go to the cement. Splattering you, praying parasites, something decent. Cause there are little creatures catapulting underneath car to car. They can reach up and pull the door handle ajar. You're flying in a split second, don't feel threatened. It can happen to any peasant that drives. Change bodies like transporters with everything it carries inside. Grim Reaper, spawn metal screechers. Don't have a stereo cause they'll try to hypnotize me through the speakers. Heavy thinker, heavy drinker. Signal ride on my blinker and it was on. He cut my brake line. I climbed out of the window, clung to the roof on some money train escape game mine. Slugged him in the brain 8 times. Jumped back in, tried the emergency handle, but it was stuck. It's no luck, I had backup. Man, that one snuck up. This time, no one got injured, and just as I started to crack up, a foreign status on the radar, call static through the audio sensors. Oblivious people dangerously in the range, but I'm not their defender. Gotta fend for themselves. A signal stronger, the decoder can't read what it spells. I think this is the big one, I follow through four of the hells. It's a smart one covering up its trails, it's a female. Breathing heavily, I excel. Then an urgent call, then an exhale. It rang so loud, I lost my hearing, but kept steering when I was jolted above the highway. Felt something in my foot piercing, moving up towards my spine blade. I shot through the floor and the car dropped on the orange convertible with 4 teenagers who were just bar hopped. I woke up 10 days later in the hospital. Eyesight not so cool, crystallizing dark spots. There are little creatures catapulting underneath car to car. They can reach up and pull the door handle ajar. You fly in a split second, don't feel threatened. It can happen to any peasant that drives. Change bodies like transporters with everything it carries inside. Change bodies like transporters with everything it carries inside. Change bodies like transporters with everything it carries inside. Change bodies like transporters.
You know. We just did an MC battle the other night. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah. That industry?
Yeah, this guy, that first dude just totally cracked me up. This guy came up there. I was like, man, that guy, he's kind of a little large to be wearing such tight pants. He was wearing these really tight pants. And he starts off the battle. And the first thing he started talking about was
his tight pants.
His tight pants. He was just like wanted to disarm that being used
yeah,
against him.
Yeah, I have tight
something.
Pants on. Leave me alone.
It works for me. Yeah, stay away from the tight pants. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to wrap up this fine edition of Living Art. We had John Edward Ross.